Hey, Pathway. Welcome. It's Matt, and I'm out in beautiful nature walking some trails. It got me thinking about life and how routine life can be. For me, it's get up in the morning, go to work, you know, try to find a little exercise after work, have dinner, go to bed, wake up, and do it all over again. That routine is, there's some comfort in it at times, right? And some safety, but I'm not sure that God's idea of a relationship with him is routine, or that he wants it to be routine. I think there's all kinds of things that disrupt that routine, that he puts in front of us. We just can't miss it and miss those things, like taking a walk, taking a hike, or whatever disrupts your routine and gives you a little bit of the distraction, good peace, and healthy time to think and think about the relationship and how wonderful of a world God gave us to be. I'm here today with my youngest daughter and wife as well, that this also reminds me of time I miss on just my routine every day, that I miss with my own family, and love to be with them. So let's all spend some more time together listening to good music and good message. And I hope everybody has a reasonably happy week this week. And just remember to find something healthy, something good, something beautiful that can break up your routine. See y'all soon.
No. No, you may not. We've been recording talking about tickling.
He wraps himself in light as with the God.
that's a tuning exercise for those of you at home. What are you trying to say, man? You know that's not helpful at all, right?
Does that apply to me? You ready, Jeremy? glance at me.
Oh, goody. He's taking it up.
Ready? Got some organism. 3-4 drums.
We good?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Jesus, oh Jesus, I hear you calling.
Thank you.
truth around your head. Bound for glory, I ain't getting out of this bed. Sun comes struggling on. Yesterday's dead and gone. Tell your story. Put the night back in your veins. Bound for glory.
Causing me suspicion, but there's no proof. in the paper today. Tales of war and the ways, but you turn right over to the TV page. And now, hey now, don't dream it's over. And now, hey now, when the world comes in, they come to build a wall between us. We know that they wanna win. Steps into the door of your heart. Only shadows ahead, barely clearing the room. Get to know the feeling, liberation and relief. Do it. cause it's so hard to see. Come together right now over me.
Pathway, this is Wendell. I'm glad we can be this, be together this way. It's not my favorite, but we can do it. Introduce myself. I'm living loved by God. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. And I've had issues with porn, alcohol, rage, panic attacks, and sessions of depression. Been talking about Christmas time. We've had an Advent series, and we've had two. Now this is the number three, and we are back to comparing and contrasting the creation story with the incarnation story, the Advent story. And so this time we're going to talk about partners, and it'll be clear what we're talking about here in a minute. So when God created everything that is, He did it, Father, Son, and Spirit. No humans involved. Zero. Christmas time comes along, and all of a sudden, the landscape is littered with our kind. And so, given His creative talents, God could have pulled Christmas off all alone if He'd wanted to. And yet, He chose to enlist partners. And what's funny is when you follow the story, it's hard to figure out really who's running things. Because, of course, you've got the magical conception. You've got the visions and the angels and then the star, and of course you say, well, that was God. But then you've got Caesar, who says, I want more money, and so Joseph has to pick up and run to Bethlehem to pay his taxes, and now Rome's in charge. And of course Mary has the last word when her labor pains start. Now she's calling the shots. Kind of interesting to have a story with such mixed passing the baton of who's in charge. But as the drama unfolds, the plot pulls in a cast of folks from all walks. And, you know, you can't help but hear notes of providence in the air. It's not like God's being the orchestra conductor, but He's making sure that people show up and He's making sure that things happen. So kind of unlike creation, God's not singing a solo like Let There Be Light, you know, or something else. But really, He's kind of behind the scenes singing harmonies with the rest of the band. And what's interesting is who He picks to be in His band. And as you look at the story, it's generally little people. It's those who are vulnerable and innocent and simple. It's not that they were simple-minded. It's not that they had no will of their own. It's just they kind of lived uncluttered lives that depended on God and His goodness every day. And that they weren't lazy. You don't want to get that idea either. They just didn't sit around and wait for a handout. It's just that their instincts were always turned toward Him, if that makes any sense at all. So these are the people God chose to work alongside. And we kind of have to ask, why? Why did He choose these people when He could have had professionals, when He could have had people in power who would have assured His safety and all? Why did He pick these people? And I've got a couple guesses. I don't know for sure, but I have a couple guesses. And the first was is first guess I think would be that God simply wanted to experience the purity of their love and care. They were not confused. They were not mixed. They were not a hybrid of power and love. They were just love. He wanted to look into Mary's eyes and soak in the affection of a first-time mom. Can you imagine that? Somehow he knew he would find this deeper connection, more profound connection with earthy folks like carpenters and shepherds. It's almost like he felt more at home with the bleating of sheep than the clattering of coins, and preferred the smell of fresh sawdust over the smell of success. This holds true all through the Gospels when you follow Jesus. So what happens at Christmas is not a one-time deal. It's a theme that carries through. My second guess of why God chose these people to partner with is he trusted them to rightly tell his story. Luke says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. He also says the shepherds came and saw, and then they went and told. These were the people who initially told about Jesus and who shared his story. Why did God pick them? Well, you know, you get the idea that Jesus was not some sort of ornament on their tree of theology. He wasn't some yearly festival that they had in their religion, much like he's come to be now. He literally was their universe. He was their obsession. They found themselves absolutely and utterly captivated by him. So what does this whole story tell us? If you look at God needing no partners in creation, all of a sudden pulling in all these partners, and you look at who he pulled in, and you look at how he shared kind of the responsibility of making things happen, and you look at the flow of the whole thing, where's the lesson in all this? And this is a new thought for me. Been chewing on it for about a year and a half now. And so there again, I'm not going to preach it or teach it. I'm just going to offer it, and you can come to whatever conclusion you want to. But I think more and more in my heart, I think God is looking for partners, not employees. I'm getting more and more confused why we obsess over doing God's will. Oh, I just want to know what God's will for my life is, as if we have a boss who is grading us and grading our performance. At the very end of his ministry, even as confused and crazy as they were, Jesus looked at his disciples and he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And then he introduced them to the Holy Spirit. He said, when I go, I'm going to come back. My spirit is going to come back. And the word that he described was one, the comforter, one who comes alongside. He's not going to be your boss. He's not going to be your taskmaster behind you with a whip. He's going to walk with you and partner with you in life. So the bottom line of all this, and I'm going to say this twice so we can get it. The bottom line of all this is life is not something we do for God. Life is something we do with God. Life is not something we do for God. Life is something we do with God. This is a new thought for me. This is a new realization for me. I have to wrap my mind around it. I hope it gives us some meat to chew on, something to think about for a while. And at Christmas time, imagine how that story played out and tell yourself that God was the boss. If he was, he didn't act like one. He was more of a partner working behind the scenes and working with people, not asking them to work for him. Let's close with our normal serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you'll make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you in the next. Amen. Hey, keep coming back. God loves you, and we'll see you next week.